Welcome back to From the Press Box, the Holland Sentinel Sports Staff's weekly podcast where we talk anything and everything sports. I'm sports editor Dan Diodana, along with assistant sports editor Will Kennedy. And we've got a lot of things to talk about, a lot of football happening this week. But also, before we get to that, Will wanted to get to a little bit of non-football stuff. We don't always have a lot of super exciting things happening at once, but this is kind of one of those times right now. We've got Holland Christian boys soccer is now ranked number one in the state in Division III. The Holland Dutch, the Los Dutch for soccer, are ranked number two in Division II. And they get to play each other on Monday in a not even across town, in a like cross quarter of a mile from their school showdown.
Yeah.
Last year they played each other. They were both ranked number one in their divisions, and Holland won the one in a division in the district title game 1-0 on a goal that bounced off a defender. So it was about as close as you can possibly get. It was very exciting. There were just tons of people there. It was one of the first events where they started opening it up and allowing a few more people during the pandemic to go. So it was very exciting. And obviously there was a district title on the line. One team was going home. So that made it a little more electric too. This Monday at Holland High School, they will be playing again at 6:45. The much anticipated showdown. Holland Christians look real good. They were ranked number three to start the season. They knocked off number one Unity Christian. Monday night, they beat Hamilton 8-0 in a mercy, which, you know, I figured they would beat Hamilton, but I don't think Hamilton looked as bad of a team to get mercied, you know, so that shows you how well Holland Christian is clicking, especially offensively. So that'll be very exciting. We've had some good soccer going on in the area. These two teams are kind of like the poster teams for that. Kirby Eggers is leading Holland Christian. He's got 12 goals so far, and he is, doing a lot of things, doing a lot of orchestrating with the ball. And Holland is still, ranked number two. They have a couple of their All-State players from last year opted not to play high school and are doing the club thing, which, to mixed reviews, obviously. But they still have Levi Hondard and a bunch of other great players, and they've still been taking care of business too. So it's going to be a pretty interesting matchup for sure. Will, you've seen the Hope College men's soccer team play. You probably saw them play maybe their best game of the year. What did you see from them? You saw them?
Yeah. I mean, they played WashU, WashU, if you look at their record historically, they're normally finished around a couple games above 500. So you don't really anticipate them being incredible. But when you look at their conference, they play like a bunch of top 10 teams over and over again, and they always compete. And they came into the game against Hope undefeated. I believe they're 4-0, and Hope was 3-1. I'm sorry. And Hope got the 1-0 win. Really kind of dominated the game outside of the first 10 or 15 minutes. WashU was kind of putting pressure on, but after that, the next 75, 80 minutes, Hope really just, ball control, and was causing problems for WashU the whole time. And it was good. A lot of young guys got in. They have a lot of depth. The college soccer rules are weird. I'm used to watching the Premier League, where you only get three substitutes all game, but in college soccer, you can do a whole lot more subbing in and out. And then second half, you basically same exact thing. Slate's wiped clean, I think. So a lot of subbing in and out, which is really good for their depth. A lot of younger guys played, but they look good. I mean, they're defending MIAA tournament champions. They only played like two or three regular season game last year because of COVID. So they're really fresh. Their legs are fresh. They looked good. We'll see what happens when they get into MIAA play.
For sure. And I watched the Hope women play. They beat Elmhurst. Also 1-0. They probably should have won about 4 or 5-0. They had some big scoring chances that Elmer's goalie was pretty good, and also a couple of misfires on some shots. they're off to a really good start too. Only one loss so far, and they're finding some local contributors. There's sophomore forward from Holland Christian, Madison Holloway, who's leading them in scoring. She kind of played more of the midfield in high school and kind of was, as a lot of, you know, elite high school players do. So they're in the mix quite a bit more than just hanging out, playing forward. But at the college level, she's kind of specialized into being a scoring force, which has been big for them. And then also Zealand West sophomore Tally Martinez is a starting defender for them. And she's the one that was great in high school, chose to play basketball at Hope, played a year on the junior varsity team, then decided to go back to soccer. So this is her first year of college soccer as a sophomore, and she's starting on defense for Hope. So that shows you her defensive ability, and there'll be more to read about her this week in the Sentinel. So make sure to check that out. So, but yeah, we've got, before we get to football, just touching on a couple other things we've got going. I mean, cross country is in full force here. We've got some great, great runners and great teams in the area. You can read about West Ottawa's new freshman stud on their already dynamic girls cross country team that returns all their scores from last year's fourth place in Division I state meet team. You know, there's definitely got some, each school has got at least one really good runner, you know, around the area, which is really exciting. And usually most of them have more than one good runner. So that'll be something to look out for.
West Ottawa is just very, they have two of the top five runners in the entire state, and neither of them are seniors. So like they're both going to, so they're going to be good for the next, for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, for sure. It's they're building a, they're really building kind of a mini dynasty. I know you got to win to be a dynasty. They're winning out here though. They're winning the OK Red title. They're winning regional. Yeah. So that's, now they're a state contender now, which is exciting. So they'll definitely be, we'll be talking more about them as the season goes on. And the same thing for volleyball and swimming. Next week, we've got a very exciting volleyball week with Zealand East and West playing each other, Hamilton, Holland Christian playing each other, and Hope Calvin playing each other next Saturday. So we'll have a lot of volleyball to talk about in the next couple weeks as well. So let's get to football. I mean, we got a lot of football stuff, a lot of interesting football stuff happened. Before we get to the high school stuff though, Will, I want you to break down Hope's victory for me. Yeah. I mean, it seemed like a game on paper that looked pretty even, but it wasn't really, was it?
I mean, to be perfectly honest with you, heading into the game, I thought Rose Holman was going to win, not super easily, but I thought they would win relatively convincingly. Hope had struggled to run the ball the week before. And Rose Holman's quarterback is really good. This kid named Andrew Dion, he's from California. He's a really prolific passer, one of the best passers in Rose Holman history. He's averaging like 350 yards passing going into the game. They had just beaten Trine, which always competes with Hope for the MIAA title. They had lost in week one to a top 15 team nationally, but they've only lost by like a touchdown, maybe 10 points. So I was expecting, you know, Rose Holman to come in and handle business, but Hope really just kind of came in and said, no, last week was a fluke. We're going to assert our dominance here. And until the last minute of the game, it was like 27-6. Then Rose Holman scored a couple garbage time touchdowns, got an onside kick, nice long pass from their quarterback to kind of, the final score ended up being 27-20, but it was never really that close at all. I mean, Hope just dominated from the jump, and the Rose Holman play calling was a bit strange, but Hope was ready for it. They kept trying to, they had a perceived advantage in speed. I guess their coaching staff thought they could outspeed Hope's guys. So they kept doing a lot of jet motion, jet sweeps, trying to get to the outside to get the edge and get upfield. But Hope's DBs were able to get off blocks, and the linebackers and defensive line came in the backside pursuit to stop them for like 1 or 2 yards every time. And when they passed the ball, it was effective, but they just didn't pass the ball that much, which was surprising seeing their previous games. But no, credit to Peter Sturzman and his staff and his guys. They were ready for it, even though it didn't seem like that's what they would be doing. And they were ready for it, and they came out with a big win, a really big win. That's probably one of the harder teams they'll play. And then they have one more non-conference game coming up this Saturday against University of Northwestern, which is from Minnesota. They're coming into Hope, and that game kicks off at noon on Saturday.
All right. Very exciting stuff. Very exciting stuff. Yeah, they're looking good. Grand Valley State's looking good. They beat Wisconsin La Crosse, which is a D3 power, kind of interesting matchup, but, you know, showed that obviously Grand Valley was, you know, a bit ahead of them, but at the same time, La Crosse still scored 20 on them and showed why they're one of the better D3 teams.
It was a close game at halftime. I think La Crosse might have even been winning at one point. But yeah, I mean, Grand Valley, they're still trying to get their feet underneath them because they had one game canceled. So this is only game two for them, I think. Right. So they're still getting their feet underneath them, but they'll be fine. Their transfers, especially Hunter Ryson, who's a Michigan State transfer receiver, have already started to make a big impact there. So he's definitely one guy to watch out for. And Zealand West tight end Jake Slager, he's a all GLIAC guy from last season, or 2019, I should say. He's another guy to watch at Grand Valley.
For sure, for sure. And then we got Michigan and Michigan State are both undefeated and looking optimistic. I can't remember the last year where we were this far into the season where both teams really looked optimistic. You know, I mean, obviously Michigan State had a down year last year, and you know, and before that Michigan has had some down years, and you know, it's been hit or miss, but there's been very few years in the last, you know, decade or so where both teams have real reason to be optimistic.
Yeah. I mean, Michigan has obviously looked good, but Michigan State has looked so much better than what Michigan has looked to me, just because Michigan's dominating these lower tier opponents, these MAC opponents, and like, great, good for you, congrats, like you're beating these teams. They beat Washington turned out not to be nearly as good as people thought they were going to be,
right?
Pac-12 in general is kind of a mess, but you know, Michigan State going, taking it to Northwestern week one easily, don't remember who they played week two, but won easily, and then going down Youngstown State is okay, so an FCS team, but then going down to Miami, and I, it's not easy to play in Miami. It's like 9,000 degrees down there, I can speak right. from experience. But you know, they come down there, and then it was close in the first half, and then, you know, Michigan State just really pulled away in the second half, and their run game is great. Mel Tucker is, I think of saying Mel Tucker's praises like four or five times on this podcast already, but I'm just right. a huge fan of what he's doing down there. And he got put into a bad situation last year, a tough situation for anybody to come into, but you know, one season in, it's already looking, the rebuild's already looking way better than anybody anticipated. So I'm higher on Michigan State than I am Michigan right now. But we'll have to just wait and see until Michigan plays a real team.
For sure. For sure. Well, yeah. And that's part of it is too, is just the scheduling with Washington not being, you know, maybe as good as people could have thought or whatever. Like the Michigan looks good, but at this point they should look good.
Yeah,
like there's like, not a, they're not necessarily doing absorbently more than anyone thinks they should be right now. Whereas Michigan State is probably at least one win ahead of where people thought they would be.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
At least one, if not two.
They were an underdog going into the Northwestern game.
Well, yeah, I mean, Northwestern is coming. I mean, last year they were only team in the West to beat Iowa?
Yeah, they won the West last year.
Yeah, I mean, so like this is, I mean, so they're really probably closer to two wins ahead of where people probably predicted.
I would say at this point, nobody thought they would beat Miami, including like a month ago. You would hope they would beat Youngstown State, and then Northwestern was kind of a toss up because Northwestern was a good team last year and they lost a lot. Right. And that was one of Michigan State's only wins. But you know, it was kind of a toss up. So either way, but they just dominated that game and kind of set the tone for the whole season because they really sort of dominated Miami too. When it came down to it, it seemed like Miami was the team who was struggling with the heat and struggling with staying, you know, energized and everything. And Michigan State just looked fine. They looked like they were used to it.
For sure. For sure. Interesting. So it's going to shape up. I mean, we've got interesting things happening on all levels of college football, which is exciting. I mean, Hope's looking good as they, you know, kind of march toward MIAA play. Grand Valley, as expected, looks good. But, you know, they kind of good for them is, you know, becoming a title contender. And there's no reason for me to believe they can't be in that conversation at this point.
It's really all going to come down to that Ferris game. I'm not sure when that is. I know it's a little bit later in the season, but that's really what it's going to come down to.
Yeah. And then, and then just taking care of their business otherwise. And then we got Michigan State, you know, doing things. And we got a lot of local players around too. You know, we've got players on Eastern, or maybe not Eastern, Western Central, Michigan State, all over the place. So we'll keep you posted on those guys too, as we get
Iowa too.
Iowa, Zach Van Valkenburg at Iowa. We can't forget him. That's he might end up having the biggest season out of anybody from locally. So he probably will. He did last year.
Will, I think.
Yeah. So that's a big deal. We'll see how well Iowa does too. So and then high school, we had a huge win for Holland High School this past week. Will, you were there to see the them play their second consecutive offensive shootout.
Yeah, I mean, I think every game with Hope is, or with Holland, is going to be an offensive shootout, it seems. Wyoming, their defense played better this week, but by no means would I consider it good defense. I mean, Wyoming before this game had scored 25 points the entire season. Holland let them score 49 on them. Holland was just able to score 52 themselves. I think this is like 3 weeks in a row where Holland was on pace to score 50 plus points. They're led by Zach Hopp, who is just an all world, just an absolute horse of a quarterback. He can throw the ball. He can run the ball. He's huge. He can run people over. He can make people miss. And then you got a guy like Andon Grigg out wide who can haul in pretty much any catch when he's double, triple covered, anything. And he proved he returned a kick for a touchdown too. So he can really do anything asked of him. He got an interception earlier in the season. It came down to the last play of the game, though. There was about 9 seconds left. They were on the 9-yard line, and they ran a little zone read. Zach Hopp threw it to their tight end, Donald Morin. He's a junior. First varsity touchdown, and it was a pretty big one. It was their first non-COVID induced win in about 800 days, so it was a big deal for them, and it was fun to watch and see the emotions play out for all the upperclassmen who finally won a game and on the field, and not like a 2-0 COVID decision either way. It was really fun to see that, and Coach Sean McManus got emotional after the game. He was like fighting back tears when I was interviewing him. He was very proud of what his team accomplished, and now they're trying to carry that momentum in this week against I'm not sure who they play this week, I forget, but it'll be tough. I was just writing about it. They play Grand Rapids Union, and Grand Rapids Union,
that's right. Yeah, and it's homecoming for them, so hopefully they can ride that momentum a little bit of scoring that. They just need to get a few more stops. Isn't that hard to believe? Andon Grigg last year was an all-region receiver. Last year was his first year ever playing organized football.
No, he's a stud. He's really good.
It's unreal.
He made a few really – they didn't really show up on the stat sheet as anything other than yards. But on the last drive of the game when Hope was down – or Holland was down by five, they had to go in and drive the length of the field and get a touchdown to win. It was like 4th-and-11 at midfield, and – Andon Grigg just went up there and it's in double coverage. Zach Hopp threw the ball up. Grigg went up and got it about 15 yards. It took a massive hit to the ribs, held onto the ball and really set them up. The next play, they chucked one to the end zone, drew a pass interference, got the ball at the 9, and then got a touchdown and won the game.
Yeah. There's definitely some excitement, even in the losses. You know, the Zealand East game was exciting. I'm still baffled by the week one drubbing by Holland Christian, but first game and a little bit of rivalry mentality or mental block, but their games are entertaining, and that's something that a lot of times Holland has had some great teams over the years, three or four really great teams, but when they're not good, they're struggling to win a game, and part of that is because their conference is so difficult. Yeah. When you've got Zeeland East West, Muskegon, and Mona Shores in the conference, and before this year, before last year, you add Unity Christian into that conference, and even if you're really good, there's five losses.
Yeah,
because you have to upset a team challenging to win a state title just to make the playoffs.
Yep.
And that's insane. So you never really knew how good they were. Same thing for Hamilton. Hamilton was in that league with them and Holland Christian. You kind of never knew how good some of these teams were because they're mostly losing four to five games every year just because of who they're playing.
Yeah. It's like being Tennessee in the SEC. Like, you're going to lose.
Right. You know, there's a couple years where Tennessee's real good,
but they're still going to lose.
And then when they're not, you have no idea how good they are. Maybe until they get to a bowl game or something.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's just interesting, but because they would get beat down by these teams that are beating everyone in the state down, the excitement wasn't there.
Yeah, exactly.
The excitement is there, even if they're not getting tons of win. Now they have a win, which is huge, but like, pretty much each game is the excitement. Now Holland Christian turned out to be a little bit of a
that was a blowout,
but the excitement was there at the start of the game because it was starting with the rivalry. It was the start of the season. You know what I mean? So every game for Holland has been exciting.
Yeah. I mean, they're a team that if you're watching them, just, you know, you can't really look away for more than 5 seconds at a time, because if you do, either A, they're going to get scored on, or B, they're going to score.
Right.
And Zach Hopper or Anna Gregg or someone's doing something crazy. And I will say the defense played better this week. I mean, they got a safety, which was huge. They sacked the Wyoming quarterback a couple times, but you know, they let him back in it, but they did just enough to win it. So defense is improving, but it's still definitely the weakest link of the team of the three phases. Sure. But they're exciting, man, and that makes them exciting. If you're going to watch a Holland Dutch game, scores are going to be in the total scores are going to be in like the 110, 120 range.
Right. For sure. That's exciting. I mean, at least
it's fun.
I mean, they had some years just based on their offense, what they were running first teams sometimes in that powerful OK Green conference for years, where the other teams could just stop the run. So they'd have, you know, years where it was a struggle to even score a touchdown or more than one touchdown in a game.
Well, and
now they're putting up 50 points.
And the crazy thing about this week was that they scored 52 points. They had two of their top three receivers out due to injury. And then they had a bunch of kids get sick with like the cold earlier in
that kind of went ripping through some of the school districts too.
Yeah. So Coach McManus told me that one day at practice, they had like 13 kids at practice. And they were like, almost deciding like on Thursday, like, are we going to play this game or not? Like, do we even show up? Like, and then Zach Hopp was like, Zach Hopp had to play defense a little bit. He played some free safety, the quarterback. And he was just like, I was quarantined for two games last season. I'm not missing the second of this season. I don't care if we have to play with 11 guys and both play both ways. We're playing this game. And they did.
Nice.
They got their first win in like almost two calendar years, which was awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah, so let's go through a little bit of what else happened. I mean, I was at the Grand Haven versus West Ottawa game. Grand Haven scored in the first quarter, and they scored the first play of the second quarter, and then nothing happened until the end. And, I mean, West Ottawa ended up losing. They were down 14-7. Looked like they were in the game. The momentum was going. They had just scored, but the ensuing kickoff went 87 yards down to, like, the 6-yard line. They scored on the next play. And the momentum was swung right back. But the West Ottawa's defense, who had given up some points coming into this, went three full quarters giving up nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's impressive. That's very impressive. And they ended up, it ended up looking not, you know, like they weren't really in it, you know, 28-7, but at that was one of them was a kick return. The other one was set up by a kick return. The defense really only gave up 14 points basically. And it was 14-7 midway through the fourth quarter. That game completely changed. And then they scored a, you know, they scored on the next play to make it 21-7 and then scored a garbage time.
That's a team that, you know, I said last week, I really said, you know, this week is could be the week for Holland to get their first win, and they did. And like this week is looking like a week for West Ottawa that could potentially get that first win, because they're going to East Kentwood. I'll be there at that game. And East Kentwood is 0-4-2. They've really struggled on offense. They've been shut out a couple times. They've only scored 16 points all season. So I know West Ottawa struggles on defense, but you know,
right. In fairness, they've played harder teams.
They have, but you know,
they played Muskegon and you know, some other teams, but at the same time, if West Ottawa's defense played like they did this last week, they should win.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, just got to get the offense going a little bit too, but you know, if you're playing a team that's only scored 16 points all season, then score a touchdown and a field goal and you might win the game, you know?
Right. Right.
So we'll see, but this is really the week that when I was going through the schedules in the preseason, and as this week or as the season has kind of gone along, I kind of circled this one as, yeah, this could be a week where you know, Pat Collins gets that first win as West Ottawa head coach, and they get their first win since what 2018. They haven't won a game since 2018.
Which is really, I mean, it's hard to think about any team going winless, especially for multiple years. Now, unfortunately, with Holland High School, we've kind of gotten used to it because, like I said, they would build up to a playoff team.
They're boom.
And then they'd have 3 years of where they wouldn't win a game. And then they would have back-to-back good, really good years. And then when they're down, they just won't win. It's hard for them to win a game. They've had a ton of seasons over their history where they've been winless, which is no fun for anybody. We've had them there. Zealand East has had seasons like that. I mean, Zealand, when they first split, Holland and Zealand East, I think each had winless seasons, you know, back, you know, over a decade ago now. But then the next year, they played each other, and it was the only win for one of them. You know, like, it was just like this wild, you know, sad thing that it became, you know, Holland became like, you know, the Cleveland Browns or whatever you want to call it, you know, like this. But then they've had great this, you know, in the past decade, they've had some great teams, great teams, but they've also had more years where they haven't won a game. And West Ottawa, I didn't expect it. Because
you don't expect any team to go three straight years without winning.
Well, right. And West Ottawa had some, you know, years where they hadn't won a game, but it's been decades. Yeah. I didn't expect the drop. I mean, they had some great teams. They made it deep in the playoffs, I think, 4 years ago or 3 years ago, whatever it was, right before this. I didn't expect the drop off to be like that. So that's been interesting. But hopefully, they can get.
I know they're competing against OK Red schools, and the OK Red's probably the hardest conference in Michigan. But I mean, a school that size, you would imagine there'd be enough talent to drum up to win at least one non-conference game at least each year.
Right, right.
I mean, it's one of the biggest schools in the state, isn't it? It's certainly
the biggest. It's like the 10th biggest, I think. Yeah. It's one of those things. You just would expect it, but it's just, you know, they've lost a couple heartbreakers at the last minute. You know, they're just, you know, I covered a game, I think it was – I can't remember if it was last year or the year before, where they were first game of the year, they were playing at Stevensville Lakeshore, who was a pretty good team. It was a game that ended up having like monster storms where they had to cut the game off on Friday. Then they had to go back Saturday, which means I also had to go back all the way down there on Saturday. They were in it, you know, like, I think that they kind of, you know, they, a team that ends up being a team that wins no games shouldn't be in a game against Stevensville Lakeshore, and they were in it, you know, until the storms and everything changed kind of the momentum and everything. But like, it's the, you know, I don't know, it's just a weird thing. And like, and who knows if they were in a different conference, where would they be, you know what I mean? Like, would
I don't think it would be that much different if they can't win their non-conference games.
Right, but let's say they're in the green, they would. Who knows this year about Holland? That'd probably be a really good game. They haven't played each other.
That would be a fun game.
West Ottawa haven't played each other in a long time. That would be a really fun game. But West Ottawa should beat like Wyoming.
Yeah,
Union, I mean, just some of these schools. So it's just it's some of its circumstance, but at the same time, like I said, you never expect that. So hopefully they get their win. Holland got their win. Holland Christian was winless last year. They beat Holland in week one, so they've got a win. So and then Fendel got their first win last week too. Their first win ever in eight man.
Yep.
So I mean that's good. I mean, hopefully West Ottawa gets it too. I would love to have a year where everyone wins a freaking game. Last year we had four teams win left. No games. Like that's so bad.
Yeah, West Ottawa is the only school left in our coverage area that has not won it. All the other seven schools.
So maybe that changes Friday. So,
and if it doesn't change Friday, I'm not sure it changes at all.
Right. The road gets much more difficult. I mean, they'll be playing.
Best chance by
they'll be playing Rockford in Granville, and Jenison, and you know teams that on paper should beat them. So. Yeah. One of the stunners from last week is Zealand West lost to Muskegon Mona Shores. Now, that in itself is not a stunner because, you know, Mona Shores has been in the state finals within the last couple of years. That, you know, they've been good for a number of years now.
But losing,
but they lost 47-12. I would have never picked that in a million years.
Yeah.
You know, they just kind of got, I mean, they, the players themselves were saying it's a wake up call. But, like, there's two things from this. One, Zealand West, you know, maybe showing that, you know, they've got new quarterback, a lot of new personnel from last year. So even though their system with the wing T is really, really great, they're showing that they're not maybe not quite as experienced as they were and maybe not quite as good as they were. On a sliding scale, they're still quite a very good team, Zealand West. Yeah. But I think the biggest wake-up call for this was the fact that Mona Shores is dynamite. With what they've showed, they're better than Muskegon. That game between the two of them is going to be insane. I mean,
yeah,
those games have been for almost a decade now have been insane. But before that, like Muskegon had won like 30, 40 years in a row.
Yeah.
And then Mona Shores won one. It was this big deal. And then Mona Shores ended up winning the state championship that year. And then they've been good ever since. And Muskegon's still been good ever since. And that's pretty exciting.
Also, sort of an aside, just check out the photo gallery on HollandSound.com by one of our stringers, Lenny Padilla. Mona Shores has some of the coolest uniforms I've seen. They're so dope.
They're looking good. They're playing good. Their game against Muskegon will determine who wins the green in all likelihood now.
Yeah.
But like it's they're real good. So that also doesn't worry me quite as much for the Ducks.
Well, the only thing I would be worried about is you've been here obviously so significantly longer than me and seen a lot of football seasons. I didn't expect them to lose that bad. And when was the last time you saw them lose consecutive games?
It's been a while. I mean, yeah, I'm not even really sure when the last time they consecutive games. That's a good stat.
Yeah,
here. I'll see if I can find that real quick. But I don't remember them. I don't remember them ever. Like I don't remember them losing that big in general.
Yeah, I mean that's a huge.
You know what
loss.
I mean? Like that's
a 35-point loss.
Right. I mean, I don't remember. Like they've lost games. Don't get me wrong. I don't remember them ever. Really losing that bad outside. I feel like they may have lost that way to like Muskegon in the playoffs at some point, you know, or something like that. But like that's back-to-back games. I mean, that's.
And the thing with this is obviously they're a younger team than they normally have. This week is going to say a lot because they play Reese Puffer, which is not a bad team by any stretch of the imagination. Like Reese Puffer is pretty solid. They're 2-2 right now.
Right.
How is this team going to respond to getting punched in the face 2 weeks in a row? Is this team going to respond to that? Were they going to just roll over and die, or are they going to, you know, work their tails off this week and you know, try and get back in that W column? Because this week is critical for the rest of the season for them, in my opinion. This is definitely a turning point for them to decide what team they're going to be for the rest of the year.
For sure. Okay, so the last time they lost back-to-back games was in 2017, early in the year. They lost to Mona Shores. And then they lost to West Catholic 17-6.
And back to those games even blowouts?
They lost to Mona Shores 42-20.
Okay.
And then in the last time, I don't know, what do you consider a blowout? I guess The last time they got blown out,
I would say more than 16 points, more than two possessions.
All right. Well, they got blown out in the 2018 playoffs against Zeeland East. That was the year Zeeland East went to the state semis, 42-24. The year before that, they got in the playoffs. They lost to Muskegon 55-20. And then that same year in 2017, they lost to Zeeland East in the final season finale, 28-8.
28-8. Okay, so 20 points.
I mean, the next week they beat that same Zeeland East. They lost 28-8. The next week in the playoff rematch, they won 42-27.
Well, maybe they were like sitting people that week or something because
they were in the playoffs. They did that. They've done that so many times to Zeeland East where they lost. They lost the regular season game and then won it until a couple years ago, like that state semifinal team that had Boone Bonema and Adam Berghorst. And
I mean, of all those scores you just mentioned, though, none of them were bigger than 35 points.
No, no. So, I mean, it's just, I mean,
that's a big deal is getting smacked. I mean, and who knows, Muskegon or Monashillers could go ahead and win the whole state title.
Right. And those years that they got blown out, Muskegon and Monashillers both were like in the semifinals or the finals. Yeah, so,
exactly.
Just interesting. It's just, again, those might be the only two games they lose.
Yeah, could be.
And it wouldn't surprise me if that's the case, but you know, it just,
like I said, this week is going to say a lot because Reese Puffer is not a team that's going to roll over.
No, definitely not.
So it'll be interesting to see.
Right, Fenville got their first win, which is huge.
Yeah, that might be their only one, but
it might. But I mean, you got it. They got it. You know, they spread the ball around. A lot of people contributed. Tyler Scott, Dylan Scott, Ben Peterson, Corey Calais. Quinn Rosema, lots of big time spread outing of the offensive firepower, which is huge for them.
I feel like the Scott brothers and the Peterson brothers are like the only people who go to Fenville High School.
Right.
Because like every time I go to any sporting event, they're always doing something and doing something very well.
Right.
Why are these four young men the poster children for every sport at Fenville?
Right, for sure. Well, I think Brody graduated, so at least there's only
one of the
three of the four of them now.
Yeah, but, yeah.
But they'll be three of the five starters on the basketball team
exactly. Too.
So then Zeeland East beat like Reese Puffer, a team that won't roll over. They Zeeland East beat them 17-14, a very close game.
Yeah,
which
is kind of a boring game.
That shows me that Reese Puffer would have a decent defense because Zeeland East has some offensive weapons big time. Their struggle has been stopping people defensively. So it was a good defensive showing by both teams. I'm a little surprised that Reese Puffer only gave up that amount. That could 17-14 seems like a quite defensive minded low scoring game. I mean, you add 10 points to each, it wouldn't seem like it would have fazed me.
Yeah, I mean, especially considering the person, obviously I've never seen Reese Puffer play. I've just kind of read and seen what they've done against other teams similar to the teams we cover. But, I mean, Zeeland East has guys and girls who won the game for them with Paige Westra's field goal. But, I mean, Zeeland East got a bunch of dudes on that team who can run fast. But Brady White was our player of the week last week. He had four total touchdowns. He had both touchdowns this week. For Zeeland East, I mean, I got Shebe Hunderman, who's probably one of the fastest kids in the area. And I mean, he's no Benny Diaz, but in terms of football speed, like there's a difference between sprint speed and football speed. And Shebe has got football speed for days. And this week is, you know, now that Brady has kind of established himself as a guy who can, you know, get a lot of attention and take a lot of attention away from Shebe, it's going to be interesting to see if they do any times of putting them on the field together. Because at that point, it's sort of a pick your poison kind of thing. Who are you going to defend?
Right. I like that idea. And I think that's going to be something that they build on for sure. Saugatuck lost to Parchment 50-43. They led into the final seconds.
Yep.
And gave up a touchdown with 26 seconds to go, which is just a bummer. I hope that, I mean, I still think Saugatuck's a playoff team, even though they're.
I think Saugatuck's good. Yeah.
They're 2-2. Their two losses are to big teams. I hope this 27 seconds to go touchdown isn't a loss that keeps them out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
I still think that they'll win enough games to get to the playoffs. They, on paper, they could and should, but you know, you never know. And that would be heartbreaking if that's that last second about face is what keeps them out of the playoffs in the long run.
And their game this weekend, or this week, I should say, is intriguing because they're playing Schoolcraft. Schoolcraft's 0-3. They haven't had a particularly good season by any means, but Saugatuck has never beaten Schoolcraft before. They're 0-4 all time. And Schoolcraft had an open week last week, so they didn't have any games. So that gives them an extra week to prepare for a unique offense like Saugatuck runs with the tee. So we'll see if that helps at all, because that's always a thing when you know you're in the middle of the season. I know from experience when I worked for college football teams, if Navy was on the schedule, you would be doing a lot of triple option stuff during training camp to get ready for when you played Navy in week 8.
Right.
You have to be ready for it because it's so weird. So you can't just learn it all like that.
Right.
It's so unique. So if you have a triple option team on the schedule, you do a little bit of install and then you hope you can remember it fast enough the week of the game. So to have that open week right before you play Saugatuck, that could be huge.
Right. For sure. And that's, we'll see what happens there. That's going to be one of the more intriguing matchups. Looking back at last week too, Hamilton lost to West Catholic 50-14.
And that's just
West Catholic's really, really good. You know, we've already mentioned, you know, in past podcasts how Hamilton, the way their offense goes, it's going to be very hard for them if they're behind by more than one or two scores to get back in the game. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. But that's also a game on paper that they were also expected to lose.
Yeah, exactly.
Well. So,
didn't shock me at all that they lost like that.
No, the most weird as some of these scores were, the most shocking final score to me was Coopersville 7, Holland Christian 3.
Yeah, it's like we went to a time machine back to like 1890 to watch
it. Yeah, I'm not really sure what it was about those teams. I mean, Coopersville's traditionally pretty good. Holland Christian has had its struggles, but usually its struggles are defensive.
Yeah, like their offense is solid.
So how did they allow only one touchdown but not score any touchdowns themselves is just wild.
And the thing about that game is we didn't send anybody to it because we had limited staffing.
Right.
We never heard much about what happened from any of the coaches that were there.
Right. So we just know they got a field goal.
Don't know what happened. Like,
right.
Were there a lot of turnovers? Were there a lot of mistakes? Or was it just really good defense? Like, we don't know.
Right. So it's just one of those – it's going to be one of those enigmas that will you know, have to just dream about and see if we'll know what happened with it. But it's still very interesting with all the high scoring that's going on. You know, again, it wouldn't have surprised me if,
especially considering they came out and scored like 56.
It was like 30. If it was like 35-31, it wouldn't have surprised me. You know, like,
what you expect? That's a high school football score. Like, that's
right. Exactly. So
going up against a defense with like 5 D1 guys on it, like, you expect to score at least a couple touchdowns when you're at the high school level.
Right, for sure. So it's just really interesting. We'll see if they can bounce back. It'll be an interesting week for sure. I mean, Hamilton they host Spring Lake in another kind of Blue Gauntlet style game.
They're undefeated. That's a good team.
Holland is looking to keep their momentum going into their homecoming. West Ottawa is looking for their first win. Fendel looking to keep the momentum. Saugatuck looking to bounce back from heartbreak. Same for West Ottawa. I'm not sure, you know, we're not sure how heartbreaking Holland Christian's loss was because we're not sure when exactly that touchdown was scored. Were they behind the whole game? Were they up 3-0 the whole game? Exactly. You know, like it depends. But either way, it's got to be disappointing that they only scored 3 points.
Yeah.
So we'll see who, you know, can rise up this week and give us more exciting things to talk about. So make sure to vote for the player of the week each week between Sunday night and Wednesday morning.
Again, vehement campaigning for Zach Opp.
And check out our football coverage. I mean, outside of the preview capsules and the little rewind, most everything is going to be subscriber only. But remember, subscriber only digital subscriptions are $1 for 6 months right now. So go out and spend that dollar and get, we'll get all our coverage and read about all these great players and teams we've got going on. I mean, even some of our teams that struggle have some great players on them. Definitely players worth reading about. And that'll be good for, you know, all the other sports too. We've got, you know, some pretty elite style D1 kids in tons of sports right now, which is very exciting. So,
and speaking of elite D1 kids, Zealand East has played how many games, and we haven't even mentioned Tagbonima. I mean, he hasn't done like anything.
No, I mean, he was on the line last year, and now he's playing linebacker, and it's a little bit different. But the people are just running away from him.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean,
their defense has been like the stalwart of their teams for the past few years.
Yeah.
And their defense is not the best part of their team right now. And which this scores show, although they played great this week, allowing just 14 points. But it's going to be kind of a mixed bag with Tagbonima, because I'm just not really sure how, you know what I mean? He can be in the mix things. But people will run around from him, double and triple team him, and they need some other people to step up and kind of even that playing field a little bit.
Well, I'm just surprised they haven't used him more on offense. Like, with a body like that, I mean, that's a tight end. That's right. Like the best tight end in the area.
It's just interesting because he's already committed to Western, and he's following in his brother Boone's steps. But I'm pretty sure he's going to be on the line, defensive line there.
He's going to be a DN, outside linebacker.
Yeah. So it's just kind of a interesting situation with him, and you know, they're obviously trying to do what's best for the team, as well. But I mean, yeah, I'm pretty sure on the offense he's on the line. And that's just, you know, it just doesn't kind of show up, you know, some of that stuff doesn't kind of show up. So it'll be interesting to see, as the season goes on too, what he's able to bring to it, because he's obviously an elite player, but he's also learning to play in a lot of different spots. And in the past years, he's had guys like Andrew DeVries, who was All-State, or Berghorst next to him on the D-line, or his brother Boone was a linebacker with him when he was a freshman. They were both when Tag was a starter as a freshman linebackers. They were playing next to each other, so this is kind of his first go around where he is completely relied upon. And that's an adjustment for many reasons. One, you got to deal with it.
Yeah.
But also you got to deal with the fact that now the opposing team is focused solely on you.
Yeah, like a scheming against you. Yeah.
So that's, that was kind of what happened with Saugatuck last year. Tommy Beckman, who's now playing at Central Michigan, he was playing defensive end and he barely had any tackles. But he was all state.
Yeah.
Because no one went near him.
He's like a J.J. Watt kind of player where, like, he can line up anywhere, but wherever he lines up, they're going to run him.
They're going to go the other direction. Yeah, and that's the way it went for Beckman, and that's the way it's going, you know, for Tag, too. So we'll see how they adjust to that, especially when you get toward the playoffs. So
yeah, for sure.
But, yeah, lots of good football, lots of good soccer, lots of things next week. So just a reminder, next week, Holland Christian play soccer on Monday against each other, so it'll be after – or before we do our next podcast. So we'll definitely be able to break that down on the podcast. But reminder, go out and see it. I mean, it's outdoors. Hopefully the weather's nice. Two of the best teams in the state, the best soccer rivalry in the state. It's just very, very exciting. I've covered a lot of their games over the years. And the last 4 or 5 years, there's just really nothing like it. It's got a football Friday night atmosphere for a soccer game. And that's really exciting to see. So if you got nothing to do Monday night, go see it, Holland High School, 6:45. And then we'll be back next week to break that down and tell you where you can go for all the exciting volleyball action next week. So in addition to the football stuff. So, all right, have a good week, everybody. Go out and see some sports. And for Will, I'm Dan, and we'll see you next week.